I wish we could change our logo.
We're live, thanks. And that's the intro, folks. What's up, everybody? Welcome to ATL Sports HQ Live Show, episode number 12, the show for the fans by the fans. I am Bob Lancaster. You can find me all over social media at Bull and Bob.
I'm Phil Beasley, a.k.a. ATL Phil. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at underscore ATL Phil.
I'm Derek Clemens. You can follow me on Twitter at dClemens.
Follow the site at atlsportshq.com and atlsportshq on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. And also the show can be found on all major podcast sites, including iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. So make sure you go on iTunes, give us that five-star rating. We'd really, really appreciate it. It makes us look better. Show your appreciation for the show. It is for you, the fans. So if you're interested in writing for the site, we still are actively recruiting. We would love to have you. You know, if you like writing about sports, Atlanta sports, you know, anything, soccer, baseball, football, basketball, come join us. You know, we're always looking for writers for anything, you know. So you can shoot Phil a message at underscore ATO Phil, or you can shoot me over a message on Twitter as well, at Bowling Bob, and we'll get you set up with that. But let's get right into it. Let's go to the Atlanta Hawks and the NBA to start off with this week. The Hawks 2-1 since the last show. Got a win over Philly, 123-121. The expected second loss against the Bucks, 133-114. And a win that always puts a smile on my face, 142-126 over the crap-ass Thunder. Thoughts on the last three games, Phil?
The Hawks have been playing really great lately. It's a really great thing to see. I know some people are upset because of draft positioning, but honestly, come on, look at the teams below us. Did you really think we were going to be as bad as them at this point? It's really great to see the development of John Collins, players like Trey Young, DeAndre Bembry, Kevin Huerter. We really have something going forward here. And the energy and intensity that the team shows every single night, despite multiple injuries, Kent Bazemore has been out, Torian Prince was out, Deadman is in and out, Lynn is in and out, Lynn has been out a few times, and they just continue no matter who we put in that starting lineup, sometimes three rookies at some point. We just compete, and it doesn't matter with who. Like, even that Milwaukee game, we lost by 19, yes, but that was a close game, and the Hawks were in it until the fourth quarter. It was just a parade of free throws for Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. But other than that, the Hawks played good even in that game. And to see it almost all kind of come together in the OKC game, two quarters with 45 points. Remember when this team couldn't hit a shot a few months ago? It's just a really great thing to see. And to overcome resiliency, you're playing a team with two superstars. You get out to the good start, of course. OKC made their run. They took the lead late in the third quarter. You thought, okay, yeah, you know, it's just one of those games where nice three quarters. But then, no, we come out in the fourth quarter and we explode again for 45 points in the quarter. It's just a beautiful thing to see. And shout out to Coach Lloyd Pierce. About a month ago or 2 months ago, there were a lot of people on his case saying, I don't think he's the man for the job, this and that. I told them to relax and give it a chance because look at how he has this team fighting and battling now.
It seems that the last few weeks, we've been beating teams that nobody thought we could beat, but we've been losing to teams that we probably should be beating. So, you know, at least we're handling the playoff teams. I mean, that says a lot for, you know, future years that these kids are getting a taste of victory over teams that they may see in the playoffs. But, Derek, what did you think about these last three games?
I mean, it's just great to see the players continue to grow, their confidence continue to grow every single night. I mean, you just see it on the court. The play that we have got recently from Kevin Huerter and then Trey Young, I mean, they've stepped in. They started to find the role, and they started to get more comfortable with what they are being asked to do this season. I mean, with the injuries, it's just crazy how impressive they have been stepping up in a bigger role. And, I mean, Huerter coming and starting, I mean, I think now he's solidified himself as a starter on this team and shouldn't leave the starting rotation. But like Phil said, I think it's just a big up to Coach Lloyd Pierce. I mean, he has the team ready no matter which lineup he's sending out there. I mean, Bazemore's hurt. Deadman's been in and out. And then with Prince just coming back, and it seemed like every lineup he's thrown out there, every guy is playing at the highest of their ability. And they're just all coming together and the chemistry starting to grow. So, I mean, it's just great to see the guys playing well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that as well. With the win over Philly came within the midst of Jimmy Butler's kind of controversy going on there in Philly. So that may have played a little bit of part in, their poor defensive showing. I think that may have been the game, too, where what Ben Simmons said that they were playing soft that started this whole mess with Jimmy Butler. Against the Bucks, they're just overmatched there. I mean, Coach Bud has that team playing so well. Giannis is, obviously an MVP contender. That was the first time even though, again, I thought they played better than the first time around, clearly overmatched there. The game against the Thunder, something that we're going to get into in the next topic. I think Dennis's comments may have made their way to that locker room, because I think it was pregame that those comments were made. They might have made its way into the locker room. Given Vince Carter seems like the type of guy that would, in the locker room, put those bulletin board comments for the young kids to see. But the development is fantastic. Seems like Coach Lloyd Pierce decisions have been really, really good. He let Kevin Huerter learn, due to injuries, obviously Kevin, had to stay in there and play, but he let him get minutes in to work through his shooting struggles. And Huerter has been looking like a steal with the 19th pick over the last month and a half. Just been playing fantastic. His shot is there again now. I would almost say that he has played better, if not right at the same level as Trey. So I've been good with that. But even his decisions on who to send down, Tyler Dorsey has been playing phenomenal in Erie. I mean, I think he had 37 or 39 yesterday. So he's getting a chance to get some minutes. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back, I'm going to guess, after the All-Star break. And I think Tyler Dorsey is going to start to see some minutes in the rotation as well. Once a deadline is gone and we see who's still left on this team, I think he'll start to see a lot of minutes. But like I said, it's just really, really good that they're playing well against teams that they could see in the playoffs. Again, they're not at the level of the Bucks, obviously. They're not at the level of Boston. But, a team like Philly, even a team like the Thunder, that's a great victory for a young rebuilding team, to see them put that kind of effort against a top tier team like that. That's what I want to see when your team is rebuilding. But man, when we get into this draft next year and we start adding those final pieces, I don't think that we're going to be that far in the rebuild, but we're also going to talk about that later as well. So I'll say that, but let's get to Dennis Schroeder real quick. Schroeder. Yeah. I used to call him Dennis Schroeder when he was playing terrible and Dennis Schroeder when he was playing good. But Dennis Schroeder had some comments pregame about being glad that he was traded, said he wanted to be with a winning mentality organization, and alluded that the Hawks purposely tanked last year for a high draft pick. Do you believe him, Derek?
I mean, I think he had the right to say what he did. I mean, I feel where he's coming from. He's going into, I think this is like a sixth season, and he wants to be in an organization that is looking to be competitive in the playoffs and stuff. And obviously, that's not the direction that the front office wanted the Hawks to be. I mean, I never think it's a situation of the players and the coaches, oh, we're going to go out here and lose. I think they prepare and try to win every game they do. But I think it's just from a standpoint, yes, he's probably right. I mean, the front office is putting us in these situations where they think that we will lose more, and what they're doing with the team and how they've set up the team. So, I mean, I think he has a right to say what he did, but I think he definitely regretted those words after that game and that performance the other day.
Yeah, my thing with that is, wasn't Dennis, though, a lot of the reason that we had to break that team apart and decide to tank, because he never played to his potential. I mean, he was going to be the point guard of our future. And maybe you saw a flash of that, I would say one out of every six games, I'm going to say, you know, roughly on average. But I put him just to be as responsible as anybody for the reason that we had to break this team apart.
I mean, he was one of the main reasons why we did, because we wanted to start. Maybe we brought him into the starting lineup and started to build sort of around him. I mean, it obviously didn't work out, and I'm happy it didn't.
Yeah, Phil, what do you think about that, man? Do you believe him?
Yeah, you know what? Dennis Schroeder, I was always probably one of the biggest supporters and defenders of Dennis Schroeder during his time here with the Atlanta Hawks. You know, I was big for trading Jeff Teague much earlier than we did. I really thought Dennis Schroeder was going to be our point guard of the future, but obviously it just did not work out. He really didn't show us anything in those 2 years. But come on, man, you were here 5-6 years. We had one losing season. We had one season where we didn't go to the playoffs, and now you want to bash the franchise? This franchise was very good to you. This franchise made you a lot of money, $70 million to be exact. And you're getting $70 million to come off the bench. That sounds pretty good to me. And that's only because of us, because outside of Coach Bud, I don't think there's anybody else that would have bet on him as much as Coach Bud did. Coach Bud bet on him and traded away a proven starting point guard in Jeff Teague so he could start, so he could be the man on the franchise. You had a year where this was your team, and all you could do was average 19 points a game and 28% from three-point line and just show no leadership going out there getting arrested.
And turnover central.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna hold the party in against him, because that's a grown man. So, but you can't be out here setting bad examples. You weren't a good teammate. You were feuding with two teammates publicly multiple times. So it's just not a good look. While you were here, you weren't the professional leader that we needed you to be. And now you want to turn around? No, just you're in a good situation. He should have took the high road. Atlanta was very good to him when he was here. So I don't understand why he felt the need for those comments, when otherwise he would not be the man he is today.
To me, that's admitting that you aren't a leader, that you aren't a superstar. You were glad to be traded when you could have been the one that could have led this team to a turnaround with a Trae Young, with, you know, a Kevin Huerter and all that, you know. But no, he wanted out. He was held to task for some of his outside the court, off the court activities. Last year I said quite a bit that it seemed like he was more interested in the hookah bar than he was playing for the Hawks. I mean, it just, my thing is, you know, if you want to be a superstar in this league and you want to be a top tier guy like a LeBron or something like that, you take a team to where you want them to be. You know, LeBron, he complained a lot about the Cavaliers, but, you know, he still took them to a championship with, you know, not, you know, hey, I mean, he had obviously some quality players, but, you know, but Dennis could have just stuck it out and dealt with it. But, you know, he just chooses to go, you know, to the press and complain. But, you know, he's in a better situation. You know, I hope he wins now, you know, because what's he going to say if Oklahoma doesn't win again? You know, pulls their normal playoff choke. What is he going to say then? Well, you know, maybe it's me. Yeah, I doubt he's going to say that. So, but next topic we'll talk about, though, is how many more years do you think it will take until the Hawks are a playoff team again? We're going to go to YouTube real quick. Guy that watches with us all the time, Dougie Fresh, he says, if I can pull it up here, hold on a sec, says, I expect the Hawks to be back in the playoffs come 2021 if they continue to draft right and sign big-time free agents. I actually think – I'm going to answer this one first. I actually think that we're a little bit closer than that, than 2021. I think that next year, being that we are in the East – that we could compete for the number eight, number seven, just as well. I mean, I think what now, what are we, maybe six games out of the eight spot right now?
Five games, so, right now, I think.
Yeah, five games. So, I mean, that's competing, I would think. You know, I don't know what you guys think, but, you know, the East is weak, so anybody has a chance to get in the playoffs through there. So I don't think we're as far away. I just think, you know, I agree with you that we need to draft next year's guys and then piece them in and hopefully get a good free agent or two free agents. So, but Phil, what do you think, man? How close are we?
I definitely think next year we'll be sniffing the eighth spot. I mean, we're in the East. 38 games can get you in most years. I mean, I can't see us winning much less than that with our development that we've seen so far this year, and then adding hopefully two lottery picks to that. So there's no reason we shouldn't be contending for that playoff spot next year.
Yeah, Derek, what you think, man? How close are we?
I mean, yeah, I'm gonna have to agree. I think we're gonna be right in it. I mean, you look at the teams that are at the bottom of the playoff seeding right now. I mean, you got the Nets and the Hornets and the Pistons, and I mean the Nets are pretty good, but you think that you can find a way to get into the East side. I mean, it's just a whole new team. You got Pierce, and he's having a whole year, and he's getting to build his team up and develop them. And I mean, if he, the way that it's going right now, it looks like we will be sniffing. And I mean, and I say in 2 years, we could be moving up the ladder and continue to move up the ladder. And I mean, if we hit on this next draft, I think we definitely will be a force in the league. And I mean, we're already starting to make challenging some teams on a nightly basis.
Yeah, you know, even if you don't get the, you know, a top four guy in this draft, then you might start looking at the defensive side of the ball to make your defense a little bit better. So, obviously, again, if you're in the top four, you know, you've got another chance to draft another franchise player. So, another interesting thing that could play out is with having two draft picks there high and thing, you could always trade those and move up to get a top four guy for someone that really has their eyes only on like a Zion or Cam or, the other Duke guy. But, you know, that's, you can move up to number four and, you know, snag a decent guy. But
Thing about this draft, there's just so much talent, which it would be hard to give up one of your other picks because you can get two guys that can help your franchise really big, especially with this draft.
Yeah, that's, I think, you know, looking at the draft list and looking to see, you know, mock drafts, you know, you're looking at a top 15 deep draft this year before it starts to fall off a little bit. And that's not including your international talent, you know, that we won't really know who's coming over from the international side yet. But the draft is wide open. It's there, you know. Our boy Ryan, you know, he's been on the hype wagon. He says that they're gonna go to the playoffs this year. So shout out to Ryan for believing. They're not, but shout out to Ryan for believing. Let's get into some NBA news now just real quick. As we get closer to the February 7th trade deadline, this kind of does roll with the Hawks a little bit too. What moves do you think the Hawks might make, Phil?
We're definitely going to see some moves. You know, there's no reason to hang on to like the likes of Dwayne Dedmon and maybe even Jeremy Lin or Kent Bazemore. Me personally, I would like to see Jeremy Lin and Kent Bazemore still here, but there's just – I like Dwayne Dedmon's game, but there's just no need to keep him around right now. He can go help a playoff team. Alex Len has been really balling, and we might be able to develop him into our long-term backup center, it seems like. And then Jeremy Lin, I just think his leadership and his mentorship for Trae Young and some of the young guards is just invaluable. I think we need that in the locker room. And Coach Pierce needs that second hand or third hand man, because you know who is his second man. Coach Pierce needs that third hand man in that locker room with him. So I really don't think we should trade Jeremy Lin. And then with Kent Bazemore, I just think Kent Bazemore is just such a pillar to the team, such a pillar in that locker room, and he shows such a strong desire to want to be here. I really think if Kent Bazemore has the choice, he will re-sign here next summer. It just seems like he loves the team. He loves the franchise that much. So I don't want to see any of them traded. But
Kent has saved us from a few blowouts this year, too. You know, it seems like some of the games he's put 30 points in could have easily been blowouts had he not put in the points that he has.
But I definitely think we'll see Dwayne Dedman packaged for a protected late maybe a future second or a second this year, and maybe take on another contract if we can first. But we'll see what happens. I mean, we're not going to stand pat. It makes no sense. You know, you don't want to carry all these veterans if we're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with that. Derek, what moves do you think they might make?
I think Jeremy Lin, I like Phil said, I think Jeremy Lin and Dedman will most likely be moved. I mean, on the Dedman side, I mean, we already have a young guy that the coaching and front office have trust in the Amari Spellman, and they've liked the play that they've seen from him. And then Alex Lynn has stepped up. So you really don't need three guys in the rotation. I mean, especially when you can get some value from Dedman. I mean, there's teams that, like, I mean, the Rockets, they just lost Capella for about 6 weeks, so they could be looking for a center and might be willing to, oh, we'll give you a future first-round pick or something like that. So, I mean, and then Lynn, there's a lot of guys looking for that backup veteran point guard to come off the bench, such as the 76ers. And I think if you can, I mean, obviously, I think if Fultz is on the market, I mean, if you can get a guy like that, that if you give him time to be able, I mean, he obviously has a lot of talent and he might turn into something. So I think we're willing to take a chance on that while giving up Lynn, because, I mean, obviously Lynn most likely isn't part of our future. So I definitely think that in the trade deadline, we will see them two guys go. Bazemore, on the other hand, I think it's really just a matter of fact if there's a deal that you can't pass up on because they love Bazemore. That organization loves Bazemore.
This is kind of a softball question, because I think we all three of us know that those are the three names. I mean, that you go around, you look, and you look on the roster and you see Jeremy Lin and Bays and Dwayne Dedman, and those are obviously the three guys that are most likely to go. But I think the move that will be made is Jeremy Lin. I mean, he's the most talked about asset that we have. He's such a good, you know, he now that he's found his legs again, he's been playing very well, so he would be a great backup point guard for any playoff team in need. But that's, you know, Dwayne Dedman, again, you know, there's going to be teams calling on him. Obviously, we really don't have a spot for him. So, you know, I agree with Phil. If we could get a second for him, I'd be happy with that. But, you know, I think Kent Bazemore, for the reasons that you guys just said, also makes him, a candidate to get moved, just because, you know, the numbers he would put up. You know, he's a great third piece, I want to say, for any team that's trying to build like a top, or, you know, a big three, you know, like a you know, make a, like a number five seed or a number four seed, you know, that might just need that one piece to get to, you know, to get over the top, make a bigger run in the playoff. But, you know, again, I think he controls a lot of that too because of his want to stay in here. You know, he definitely made it very clear that he likes it here, that he's, you know, he's perfectly on board with the rebuilding plan. And again, you know, ownership does like him. You know, he was one of the very few to remain here, you know, when they did tear apart this team. That says a lot about him and his attitude and his leadership.
Yeah, and one more thing, in the front court, remember Plumlee was playing pretty good before he got injured too, so that's another thing against that could go for Trey and Dedman, because Plumlee was providing okay minutes. He was serviceable when he was playing before he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, so I like I said, I think that for me the order goes Jeremy Lin, Dwayne Dedman, and then Kent. So on who I think does get moved. But Derek, who do you think will be the biggest name overall moved?
Derek, you're muted.
Yeah, Derek, you're muted. I can't hear you, buddy.
What I was saying, though, on the optimistic side, I want to see Davis moved, but I just don't see – I don't know if I see it actually happening. I think a name that could surprise people, I think the Wizards might look and shop around Bradley Beal. I mean, he's been playing amazing, and they're kind of on the verge if they want to start trying to build for the future or – continue to try to push for that spot. I mean, they started to win a few games, but he's been playing very well. And I mean, there's definitely going to be some surprises come up around the trade deadline time. And I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah, Phil, who do you think is going to be the biggest name moved?
Blake Griffin is going to be traded again.
Clearly not back to the Clippers after what he did to Ballmer the other night.
It is just a mess. I mean, they have a very high payroll. They're 500 in the East, out of playoff positioning with two star players. It's just not working out. Detroit needs to get out of that contract, and that's not an indictment on Blake Griffin, because Blake Griffin has been playing great this year. No one's talking about it because, I mean, it's Detroit. But Blake Griffin is really playing great. I want to see him traded to a big team. I want to see him compete. I want to see him in the playoffs again. I want Lob City Blake Griffin.
Yeah, for me, I wanna believe the hype of a big name going elsewhere, but we have that same hype every single trade deadline in the NBA, and nothing ever comes of it. But I think the name, and I can't believe I'm saying this, is going to be Dennis Smith Jr. for the Mavericks. I would have never thought that he would be moved so quickly. This is his second year. It's just not working out for him anymore. And with Luka Doncic there and the way that they've changed the offense has really, pushed Dennis Smith to the bench and not playing very many minutes at all. And so there's a lot of teams that would gladly take him off, off of Dallas's hands and put him right into the rotation to play. I was trying to basically go through the teams that, I thought Orlando was probably the biggest one that I thought that he would, that he may end up at, Phoenix, but, he'd fit in good with Phoenix, cause he don't play much defense either. So he'd fit in right there in Phoenix, but, I'd love to see an Anthony Davis move. If any big name was to happen, I could see him obviously going to the Lakers. It'd be interesting to see who the Lakers would have to give up to get him. But, I'm going to guess if they were, to top name would be Kuzma. I'm thinking it would have to take Kuzma. Kuzma, Josh Hart, and someone, a draft pick of some sort, I think is what it would take to get Anthony Davis from them. But, Blake Griffin was a good one. I just heard his name, as far as trade rumors go, just this week. So that's a newer one. But the trade deadline is going to be interesting this year. But I just think it's, again, all going to be all talk. And then we'll get there, and it's going to be a bunch of smaller names like Jeremy Lin or something like that going. And we're like, oh, that was disappointing. So. But just the hype of the trade deadline is always fun to talk about. So we'll definitely be, keeping up with this topic as we, we come along to that date. So, and I think we'll actually be live. I think that's a Thursday. So we'll actually be live trade deadline day where we can, we'll be able to talk about some of the moves. So let's get to some Phil action here. Let's talk about that Atlanta United Soccer Club. Yosef, man. Signed to a 5-year extension. I'm just kidding. Joseph Martinez. He was signed to a 5-year extension and stated that he wants to remain in Atlanta until they don't want him no more. What does this signing mean for the long term? And now is it not too far out of the realm to think this winning could be sustainable, Phil?
It definitely means a lot. Joseph obviously was very underpaid last year, only making about $1.5 million. One of the Toronto guys, either Bradley or one of them was making over seven. I think Gio was making over seven this year. It's for highest in the league. And then Zlatan just signed for like 7.5 next year. So Joseph was criminally underpaid for being the most electrifying player in MLS. But it's expected that he's going to be making about 5 per year, which is fair. But this isn't a guarantee. It's not like the NBA where you sign the contract. Okay, he's there. He can still be sold to Europe or anything, even though I don't think he wants to. But honestly, he wouldn't have the final say, honestly, because if a club called us up and was like, yo, here's $30 million for Joseph Martinez, Carlos Bocanegra might say goodbye to Joseph Martinez. But it's a very great sign that a player of that stature who could go to any team in Europe right now if he wanted to, that he wants to be here. He wants to make this his home. He said, this is my European club. This is home for me. I want to be here. I love the fans of Atlanta. He has embraced Atlanta, and Atlanta has embraced him. So I'm happy to see him here, hopefully for the next 5 years, and hopefully for 5 more championships.
Derek, what do you think the signing means, man? You think it's, you know, just not too far out of the realm to think this could be a sustainable winning club now?
I mean, I think it's great for the organization. I mean, a new team always needs that guy that can be looked at as the face of the franchise, as you would say. And I mean, everybody that roots for Atlanta or everybody around the MLS knows the face of Joseph Martinez. And I mean, it's just great to get that guy early and be able to keep him there. And then hopefully he's able to stay like the 5 year, but like Phil said, this isn't a guaranteed thing and things could change, but it would be very good for the city and the new organization to have that guy to be their star.
You know, Phil, you bring up a point, you know, about, you know, what if a European team was to come in and offer $30 million for Joseph, but how much do you think Joseph is worth to the city of Atlanta in marketing? I mean, it could be a $30 million type deal, you know, just for marketing. Look how quickly he attached himself to being the face of, you know, the Atlanta United. When I ask people that don't know nothing about Atlanta, they're like, oh, Joseph Martinez. They know who he is. He quickly became the face of this city. When you've got guys like Matt Ryan and Julio getting to the tail end of their careers, you know, you've got a young guy like him that is quickly going to be not only the face of United, but the face of Atlanta sports in general. And so that to me is why this was a huge signing, something that they needed to get done. And again, I think that they had to do it, I wouldn't say that they, you know, that they couldn't sustain the winning, because they definitely could. It's a very deep team, but this definitely doesn't hurt them, you know, for keeping on winning. So were you going to say something, Phil?
No, I said right.
Yeah, you know, I just, again, how much is he worth to the city in marketing alone that, you know, that could trump any kind of, you know, anybody coming in and offering $30 million. So, but with Miguel Almirón coming into camp and Joseph and Barco also, they hold the other designated player spots, and there is no sign of Petey Martinez. What are the odds Almirón stays here for another season, Phil?
I'd say it's very slim to none. He's just being a professional right now and fulfilling the duties of his contract. It's not like he was going to hold out if he didn't get sold, but I definitely think any day we could see news break. I think Atlanta United is really holding out for a higher offer right now. Reports are they want 30. Chances are they're only going to get at the most 25. But we have until, even if we can go ahead and sign Petey Martinez now, but we only have until March 30th to get to that 3 designated player threshold. So you have a few options here. You could loan Barco back to South America, which isn't desirable. I mean, we want to start integrating him and really getting him in the thick of things again. You know, he started in the lineup last year, got into some trouble in the middle of the year. For those who aren't familiar, rumor is that he was messing with one of the other players' wife, and he's 18 and married, so that's overall not a good look. But another option is going ahead and selling Miggy as soon as possible, or you could buy one of the players down. I forgot to look up exactly what that means, but it's not going to happen because it's very expensive. And also you could sell Joseph, which is not going to happen, obviously, because we just signed to a new contract. So
we're not going to have to worry about it, Phil. Miggy is going to Newcastle. I mean, you know, Miggy's agent isn't dumb. You know, he knows that Newcastle loves his guy. And he started the hype with the fans there at Newcastle. And now they're upset that Newcastle's not getting the job done by getting him. So they'll eventually pay out for him, I'm sure. I think the odds are still, you know, that Peter Martinez is going to end up on this team, and the odds are that Almiron will not be here for another year. So,
yeah, and one more thing with Atlanta United. Unfortunately, Franco Escobar suffered a broken clavicle on the first day of training. He'll miss 6 to 8 weeks, which means he'll miss the Hernando series. Franco Escobar was honestly one of our best players in that playoff run. We do not win MLS Cup without Franco Escobar. And one more news, there was a little rumor that Tito Villalba, Club America, was looking at him. That was just totally a rumor. And the reported value was only $6 million, and it would take much more than that to get rid of Tito Villalba. And Atlanta United would be highly unlikely to deal with a team in Mexico that we actually are going to face this year in the Champions Cup, which is a match that takes place in the summer between the winner of MLS Cup and the winner of Mexican Cup. So I'd like to dispel that rumor.
Real quick, Phil, you know, something we really haven't talked a lot about on here that is coming up. Explain to the people listening at home that who the new coach is, and essentially his style of coaching.
Yeah, Frank, I'm going to butcher his name, but Frank Bear from Europe, a similar style to Tata Martino. I'm still thinking about Tito Villalba. I'm messing up. Similar play style. You know, a world-renowned coach. Yes, he's had some failed stops, but we're talking about the huge clubs in Europe. We're just MLS, so we're the class of MLS, but we're still way behind the lesser clubs in Europe. So I think it'll be able to translate. Now, I don't want fans to worry if we don't get off to the hottest start. You know, with as much talent as Atlanta United has, as long as we make the playoffs, I'll be confident that we can win MLS Cup. And now I do expect us to get out of the gates very slowly, much like Toronto FC. Hopefully we don't struggle the whole season like Toronto FC, because hopefully we'll be looking at a long run in the CONCACAF League and hopefully being the first MLS side to win CONCACAF. But it's going to be an adjustment, of course. But things have looked good from the first few days in training. You know, the team is in high spirits. They're all happy to be back, and they're all motivated and ready to get this ball rolling as we start play here in 34 days.
Well, you know, great thing too is we get to see Tata back real quick. You know, he's gonna bring the Mexican national team this way, I believe, for a friendly up here, right?
Yeah, they'll be playing at Mercedes-Benz. I forgot who they're playing. I want to say it's one of those South American. They're playing another South American team.
Well, I'm sure when he gets back here, he's going to get a nice little ovation from the home fans, and he deserves it. I mean, it was kind of there's not many jobs that you would leave for when you led such a successful team. But anytime you want to go coach a national team, people understand that in the soccer world, you know, that's like leaving for a dream job, you know, so people tend to understand that, but don't worry, Derek, we're going to skip you this time, buddy. But we will start with you, though, as we head to the road to an Atlanta Super Bowl at the Mercedes-Benz. The Rams took care of Dallas last week, 30-22. The Saints beat Philly, 20-14. The Patriots beat the Chargers, 41-28. And the Chiefs beat Indy, 31-13. So, Derek, what game surprised you the most?
Definitely the Colts and Chiefs game. I mean, the Colts just went out and laid an egg. I actually thought that they were going to challenge the Chiefs and actually put pressure on Patrick Mahomes and give him a little taste and see if they can push him to the limit and see if he is as good as he is looked at. But, I mean, the other games really didn't really surprise me. I mean, I knew the Rams would take care of business against Dallas. Dallas, you know, their struggles in the playoffs. And, I mean, Phillip Rivers with the Chargers, that was no surprise. I mean, what is he now, 0-8 against Tom Brady? And then just to make Atlanta fans and Falcons fans all mad, I mean, we already know the Saints are going to make it to the Super Bowl and the Patriots are going to make it to the Super Bowl. So it's all playing just how everybody wants it, right?
Yeah, Phil, what game surprised you the most?
None of them surprised me. That was exactly how I saw all of them going, honestly. You know, I was disappointed but not surprised at the result of the Saints and Philly game, especially with – Philly getting out to that 14-0 lead. But we all know what's going to happen this weekend. And we all know what's going to happen in 2.5 weeks. So we might as well go ahead and get it in your mind. Don't even be upset about it. Just accept it because it ain't nothing you can do to change it. And I don't want to see any violence. I don't want to see any riots. I don't want anybody getting hurt. But it is what it is. Saints are going to win the Super Bowl.
So. You know, the worst thing about it is I just seen it earlier today, but the Falcons official Twitter account put a video under, put a GIF under the Rams tweet, like hyping them up because they want them to win. And that's just sad.
I understand rivalry, but come on now. We're out.
Sad. We're out the playoffs. I mean, if we wanted them to lose, then we should have did something about it and not get swept by them. But that's a different story.
Yeah. You know, Get your own job done, and you could have been there to beat the Saints in the NFC Championship game. But the game that surprised me, you know, it's going to surprise you too, it was the Patriots. Not surprising that they won, but surprising in the fashion that they won. What a beatdown. Sony Michel carved up the Chargers defense. I definitely expect that. The Chargers have been playing good defense all year long. It's one of the reasons that they, you know, they got to where they got this season. And Sony played fantastic. What impresses me the most is that Bill Belichick has convinced his team that they're underdogs when everyone here knows their favorites. You know, everybody knows you got to take them down to win, you know, to win the Super Bowl, you know, lately. But yeah, Bill Belichick has them convinced that, you know, that they're underdogs, that nobody thinks they can get to the Super Bowl this year. And of course they're running with it, you know, and so they looked like no one could beat them again last week, and that just scares me, you know, because yeah, I just don't think that the Chiefs are gonna do it, you know. But we're gonna have some predictions next. But yeah, that's why that game surprised me. Philly, I really was starting to believe into that Nick Foles magic a little bit, especially when they got up 14-0. I thought, man, what is it with this guy? You know, but then, you know, the Saints were able to calm down. Michael Thomas was fantastic in that game. I think he had like 19 receptions for 170 yards or something like that. And that's what they need to do to win. I think it was like week 13 through 17, the Saints showed what can happen if you do take that offense out of the game, because the defense is, you know, sketchy at best for New Orleans. So if you can take out their offense, you got a great chance at winning. So that one, you know, kind of surprised me a little bit too. But let's get into predictions on next week games. Derek, who do you think is going to win, KC versus New England and New Orleans versus the Rams?
I mean, All right, it's gonna. I think the Patriots are going to sort. I mean, not completely exposed, but I think he's going. They're gonna show some flaws in Patrick Mahomes' game. I don't think he's ready for it yet. And I mean, the Patriots have so much experience, even though they are by far the less talented team. I mean, this is one of the least talented teams the Patriots have had in a very long time. And I think just to make, like I said, just to make Atlanta fans mad, the Saints are going to go ahead and win. But I mean, from the other side, I want the Chiefs to win and I want the Rams to win. I think it'll be that would be an exciting Super Bowl to watch. Maybe one of the best ones.
So what are your predictions?
Definitely the Saints and the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots are amping themselves up with this underdog thing, but come on now. Who is really counting out the Patriots in a playoff game? I know they didn't look great this regular season, but why do they need to be great enough?
I'm froze. Give me a second. Hold on, I froze up. I think I'm good now.
They did enough to make it into the tournament, and now they're rolling. Now they surprised me last week, and I didn't think they would look as dominant as they did. But the offense put on a show, and the offense will do the same this week in Kansas City. And then in the Superdome, we all know what happens in the Superdome. The Saints don't lose in the Superdome because they always have help, but they also have a really good quarterback and a really good offense, and I just don't think LA is ready for it.
Yeah, I'm going New England, New Orleans as well. New England for the fact that they have a little more experience in this situation than Patrick Mahomes does. It was nice to see Kansas City feature pretty much 2 to 3 running backs this last game. So they try to change up their offense a little bit to make them hard to game plan for. One thing that could be kind of interesting in that game, the weather could play a Kansas City is supposed to be, I think, about 18 degrees. But had that been played at Gillette, where it's supposed to be heavy snow and stuff, that would have been could have made a difference. But New Orleans and the Rams, I picked New Orleans just because I've seen the Rams get exposed by high octane offenses a lot this year. Now, obviously, they are ranked well in defense, as they always are. But against teams that really air it out on them, they've given up 30. I think both games against Seattle scored, I think, 25 or more against them both times. So a high octane offense can get to them. The factor of New Orleans really wanting to stick it to Atlanta and get here is as much momentum as they could possibly need here. So I think that's just an added factor. But and Sean Payton, he always does just crazy stuff to get his team fired up. I mean, this one, the story last week was that he bought an armored truck onto the practice field and dumped $215,000 worth of cash on the field because that's what each player gets as a bonus if they win the Super Bowl. So, he's just always doing crazy stuff like that to hype up his team. So, yeah, I like New England and New Orleans. So, let's see how both of those go. I think they're both going to be close games. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means for both. So it's going to be an exciting weekend to watch for football. And we should know, I know everybody in Atlanta is not rooting for New Orleans. So, hopefully they won't. And we can root for the Rams. That's, it's going to be tough for me, but I'd rather see the Rams than New England again. But yeah, I'm rooting for KC. I'm rooting for the Rams, but I just don't think it's going to happen. So, but let's roll into some buy or sell. We'll start with Jalen Hurts. This was kind of new and breaking yesterday. He's transferring to Oklahoma. So buy or sell this getting Oklahoma back to the college football playoff next year, Phil?
I'm going to sell it, get into the playoffs. I mean, I like the move for both sides, of course, with Kyler Murray going to either the NBA, not the NBA. Well, I mean, maybe he could be good in the NBA too, but with him either going to the MLB or NFL, it's another star quarterback for them, but I don't think it'll be enough.
Derek, buy or sell Jalen Hurts if that's going to get Oklahoma back to the college football playoff?
I'm going to go ahead and go on a limb. I'm going to go ahead and buy it. I mean, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what Lincoln Riley and Jalen Hurts can put together with that offense. I mean, maybe we have a third straight Heisman winner from Oklahoma.
Yeah, great situation for him to be in. I kind of thought that three places that he could go to that would have been good for him as not having to sit out a year. Oklahoma was definitely number one, wide open situation there. Miami was a close second, and then third before the transfer was Ohio State. So, I think he made the best decision for him. Again, they are great at developing quarterbacks there. Last two Heisman winners have been from there. So, have been quarterbacks from there. So, yeah, good decision by him. I do think that this is getting Oklahoma back to the college football playoff. I think they would have been there anyways because I think they're going to win that division. Texas isn't quite there yet. They'll be back to a rivalry again soon, but I still think it's Oklahoma's division to win. So I definitely think this will get him there. Good on him though for finishing off what his time in Alabama, and but I get the guys on YouTube are Ryan is selling and Doug is selling, so it's interesting. I thought for sure that'd be a buy all the way around. So it's interesting to see the other people wanting to sell. But we'll stay around kind of in the Oklahoma, side of things. Because Kyler Murray announced he will put his name into the NFL draft. Buy or sell Kyler Murray possibly choosing football over baseball, Derek?
He is doing NFL, right?
Yeah, he's going to the NFL. He put his name in the NFL draft. So
I thought I heard the question wrong. My fault. I'm buying it. I mean, I think it's great that he decided to go with what he wanted to do. I mean, his dream is to play in the NFL. I mean, obviously, he still loves baseball, but he wanted to see what he could do in the NFL. And, I mean, all the doubters, and he's going to have a chance to prove them wrong if he can.
Yeah, Phil, are you buying or selling Kyler Murray possibly choosing football over baseball?
Absolutely selling it. You know how I feel about football. I would never choose to play it. If I had an option and I could play something else just as good and probably make more money, I would absolutely choose that. He needs to go play baseball. Somebody needs to get to him. Somebody needs to get to him quick before it's too late.
My thing is why can't they do both anymore? Why can you not be a two-sporter like Brian Jordan was, like Deion Sanders was? I just don't understand why they can't do both. But I am actually going to buy this one, but for one reason. Him going to the NFL means he's going to get his money now. It's a lot harder road to get to MLB. You don't just walk into MLB and you become a starter and you start making, he had a nice signing bonus of, I think $8 million was a signing bonus with Oakland. He'll have to give, I think, four and a half back if he doesn't play for them. But he's going to make way more than that when he signs for the NFL. But you run a bigger injury risk going to the NFL. But there's nothing that says that he can't, go into the NFL and then decides he flame out, maybe not be as good as he thought he was, and then go right back into baseball. He's definitely talented at both. So, the guys on YouTube, they're buying this as well. So, I agree. It's the NFL pays now. You're not having to go through single A, double A, triple A to get there. And if that's something that he wants to pursue, he can after he's done playing in the NFL. And the other thing too is if he's not drafted where he wants to be drafted, he could very well just skip the NFL and go right to MLB. It's great to have choices like that. And with having Scott Boras as an agent in MLB, he could be that guy that's a dual sport player. So, that's one thing about it. Scott Boras looks out for his clients. So that's going to be an interesting story to watch over the next few months play out, especially with where he's drafted.
That's got to be a great situation to be in. I mean, you get to decide which professional league you want to go to and make millions of dollars.
Uh-huh. That's it. He's sitting there making a decision with $8 million already in his hand. He has $8 million. So technically, even if you want to say in the decision process, 3.5 million he's got right now, because like I said, he would have to give up 4.5 if he does choose to go in the NFL of the signing bonus. But he's got 3.5 million just to sit there and make a decision. He's already been given that. So he's a millionaire and he ain't played a game for Oakland yet. So yeah, that's maybe he's a better businessman than we all think. So, but we'll go to Golden State now. Golden State set an NBA record with 51 first quarter points against Denver. And Steve Kerr called it beautiful, beautiful basketball. And it was awesome. I mean, I've seen that team on. They were on the first quarter. It was one of the best shooting displays I've ever seen. You buy or sell Golden State still being the favorites to win the NBA title this year, Phil?
Of course, I gotta buy it. They're a freaking all-star team, so I can't stand them. I don't watch them. I buy it. Yeah, they're gonna win the championship, but you know, it would be a disgrace to themselves if they didn't win the championship. No, they should all have asterisks by their name from the last four seasons.
Derek, you buying or selling Golden State still being the favorites?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna buy. I mean, as long as they still have that three core Clay, Durant and Curry, I mean, they're going to always be favorites. But I do think it is more likely this season for them to lose, but I'm not saying they're going to lose. They're most likely still going to hold up that title than this season.
I'm 1,000% buying. We haven't even seen DeMarcus Cousins yet. I mean, he comes back here.
He comes back tomorrow.
Yeah, he's just about ready. I'm definitely going to be watching them their next few games, because I'm curious how the the communication and stuff will be between adding in another superstar to that team, and whether or not he truly has accepted the role that he knew he was going to be in this year. They gave him the opportunity to heal up, become healthy, and so now he steps into a perfect situation. But some guys, even in the perfect situation, don't know their role, and he's been used to being one of the top two, if not a superstar, on every team that he's been in. And now you're essentially walking in as maybe the fifth best, fourth or fifth best on this team. So, but they're just unbelievable. I mean, I've seen some stacked teams in my lifetime over a lot of sports. It just doesn't get any better than this team. And the fact that you can convince people to go there on vet minimums that could be making millions of dollars is just unbelievable. There's no way they keep him next year. But why not get him on a year that he's coming off an injury and wants to prove himself?
I hope he wrecks their chemistry.
Yeah, it could very well happen. I mean, I've seen guys like that come into either, a clubhouse in baseball or the locker room in football, where you got a team that's rolling and, their style is just different. It just doesn't fit in, so that it's a very real possibility that could happen. But here's the difference, though. If he does disrupt the chemistry, bye-bye. You still have four superstars there that are going to bring them to the NBA title anyway. So, it's not like you just can't get rid of him. But let's get into a little football. Jerry Rice said that after meeting with Antonio Bryant, he thinks Antonio Bryant wants to be a Niner. Buy or sell Antonio Bryant coming back to Pittsburgh next year, Derek?
I'm going to sell. I mean, he's definitely gone. I mean, and he's talking about releasing some interview that he's did and exposing everything in Pittsburgh. So, I mean, he's definitely gone. And I would either like to see him in a 49ers jersey next year or a Colts jersey. I think those two destinations are high on his list and high on those teams' list. And I think they're very possible that he's on one of those teams.
Yeah, you buying or selling this one, Phil?
Yeah, absolutely. He will not be in Pittsburgh next year. I got to sell it.
Yeah, I'm gonna round it out with a big sell. They've learned their lesson this year with what happens when you keep a distraction around, and it caused them the playoffs with Le'Veon Bell. So there's no way they're going into this year with any type of distraction. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see, though, if he isn't there and there continues to be problems, at what point is it Ben Roethlisberger? I mean, we got to start looking at that. Or what point is it the head coach? So, you know, that's just – Pittsburgh's always been a very stable franchise and never had these kind of real big distractions. Even when I can always remember, even when Ben was had the rape allegations and stuff, it never became a distraction for that team. And, you know, the Le'Veon thing last year dragged on and on and on. It was very unlike Pittsburgh to let something like that happen without either, you know, sending him on the way, franchising him and you know, releasing him, you know, but they just knew what a talented running back he was. But that's going to be tough for them to lose such a talented running back and then lose a talented wide receiver like that. Luckily, Juju has come in and really taken over that number one slot. So they'll be okay at the wide receiver spot, but it will be a big loss for them anyway. So Dougie says Antonio Bryan to the Falcons. I don't know about that. I think they're pretty set at the wide receiver. I think we got a little more things to worry about than shoring up the wide receiver spot for the Falcons. But man, wouldn't that be a nice four for them? You know, you could just throw Julio in the slot, have Antonio. That said, Brian, it's Antonio Brown. What am I talking about? Long day. Oh man. Anyways, Antonio Brown and oh man, that might be my worst one ever. Hashtag Bryant. But anyways, now that I totally botched that one all up, we'll take Antonio Brown on the Falcons. Imagine what the top four will bring. So, but yeah, I think he's going to the 49ers as well. He would be utilized really well there. So, but after that monster botch, we'll end it with one final question. This was kind of breaking yesterday, and so I kind of threw this one in. Kyrie Irving, I'm pretty sure I got his name right. Yeah. Kyrie Irving, after the Celtics loss, kind of got a little frustrated with Jaylen Brown, and he found himself on the phone with LeBron James after the game. And from what the report was, is that he essentially apologized to LeBron for the way that he acted to him, because now as a veteran leader for the Celtics, he's realizing that, you know, LeBron probably was right about him, you know, and his attitude and stuff like that, and calling him out as being someone that needed to grow up, essentially. So kind of I'm going to go with buy or sell. Had LeBron and Kyrie worked together, buy or sell Cleveland winning more championships, Phil?
Sell, because you got that dang all-star team out in Golden State. But you know, they would have, of course, they would have kept going to the finals, and they would have put a better showing together than they did last year.
You buy it or sell on this one, Derek?
Yeah, I'm going to have to sell. I mean, like Phil said, I mean, the Warriors added Kevin Durant after that season. But it is good to see the way that Kyrie has grown. And, I mean, you could tell this was the problem. I mean, he didn't want to be talked to down on, but now he understands. I mean, he's one of the older guys on that Celtics team now, and they're looked at as one of the best teams in the East. So, I mean, he's starting to understand that he needs to be in that leadership role, and he's seeing how hard it could be to try to get the younger guys to get full on board.
Yeah, you know, you said essentially what I was going to say. I'm going to sell, because I don't think they would have won any more championships just because Golden State was, you know, realizing what they had to do to win the title. You know, this is good for him in Boston, because Boston is close to, you know, to being up there as well. I think they're going to be the only team that can compete with Golden State for a championship. But I think this is good for him as a leader. It's good to see him and LeBron kind of makeup, I guess. I don't know if there is a feud, but the fact that he called him, I mean, and it's becoming as big a story as it was, kind of leads me to believe that they were still kind of feuding a little bit. So, the interesting thing is, could this lead to a Kyrie and LeBron reunion down the line now that they realize that they could possibly play with each other? So, that's, like I said, I thought that was just a cool story that someone that's now in the LeBron veteran leadership role realizes now. I think it just clicked to him in that game. He was like, because you could see him frustrated with Jaylen in that game, and it kind of just it rolled over into press conferences afterwards and him talking to the media. I think it just clicked when he talked to the media. He's like, man, this is sounding awfully familiar to me, but as me being on the other side of that. Good on them, and again, I'm sure, LeBron was able to give him some advice on how he can handle things, in the future as well. So, but that's going to wrap it up. Phil, you got any shout outs?
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to everybody in the YouTube chat. We definitely appreciate you. Everybody who tunes into our replays on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts from. Everybody who supports the site and all the site's pages. I'm not going to run through all the pages like I did last week, but that's possible to follow us. And if you want to come write for us or contribute in any way, you think you got, even if you got some cool ideas on how we can make this show better or how we can make anything we do on the site better, give us a shout. Hit up me, hit up Bob, hit up Derek. You might not get a response from Derek, but
we're all for constructive criticism unless it's about me calling people the wrong name for 10 minutes. But, and these two goons are not telling me I'm doing it. So
we do this for you guys. We don't do it for anything else but you guys. So definitely let us know and come join us. We definitely want more people. We're trying to do some really big things here in Atlanta. So definitely make sure you check us out.
Now, Derek, who you shouting out?
I want to start out my shout out with shouting out Tate Martell for not keeping that same energy and transferring to Miami. But on a serious note, I mean, we appreciate all you guys tuning in, and we hope y'all continue to view us. So shout out to all the fans and everybody that helps us. And yeah.
Yeah, shout out to you guys out there, the ones that are here every week, in YouTube. One thing about this show that the three of us want is that we like the audience participation part of it. We want you to be a part of your show. You may see the three of us on camera, but it's your show. We want to talk about the things that you want us to talk about. And that's another thing. If you have a suggestion or something that you want us to bring up and talk about, send us a message on Twitter. I usually write the show on Wednesday night. So if you give us an idea on what you want us to talk about by Wednesday, I'll always put it in the show. We're open to any kind of ideas, when it relates to Atlanta sports, and we've really tried to integrate some of the league-wide sports as well, not just limiting ourselves to Atlanta sports, but quickly want to shout out Game Time Radio. This Sunday, Phil and I will be there. Phil coming back and not leaving me by myself this week. So it'll be Phil, I, and the great Jansen Harris joining us again this week. We'll miss E, but he's taking another week off, and then he'll be back. But we will be representing at the ATL Sports HQ members. And so check us out at 6 o'clock on Sunday Eastern Time, 3 Pacific Standard Time. And I think that's it. Thanks for listening to the ATL Sports HQ live podcast, and we will see y'all next week.